An estimated 80% of the world's population is entomophager, which is to say, bug-eating. And so we ask today, why don't you and I eat bugs?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 934th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in San Jose del Cabo who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Aaron Shore on the controls. How are we doing, Aaron?
Doing good. How are you?
Pretty good, but I have a question for you.
Okay.
Why don't you and I eat bugs?
Perhaps we're not accustomed.
There you go. Well, also, producer Kelly Bayer helped produce this show today, for which we're most appreciative. Folks, you know, it has been estimated that 80% of the world's population is entomophager, which is to say bug-eating. In fact, people have been eating bugs throughout their history here on Earth for a very simple reason. Bugs are nutritious. Let me give you a little example here. Suppose you have 100 grams of crickets. That 100 grams would yield 12.9 grams of protein, 5.5 grams of fat, 5.1 milligrams of carbohydrates, 75.8 milligrams of calcium, and 9.5 grams of iron. Wow. Furthermore, when it comes to converting food ingested into food yielded, bugs are simply much more efficient than conventional farm animals. Consider the efficiency of conversion rating, which measures how much food is produced per 100 pounds of food consumed. A modern beef steer's ECI rating is 10, which means for every 100 pounds of food the steer eats, it will produce 10 pounds of meat. By comparison, the ECI rating for the German cockroach is 44, meaning for every 100 pounds of food the cockroaches eat, they produce 44 pounds of meat. That bugs are so nutritious, so efficient at converting natural resources to food, and that so many people in the world eat them, we just have to ask today, all those people really eat bugs? What is the nutritional value of bugs? And why don't you and I eat bugs? Well, big questions. Here to help us hunt down an answer or two, we have David George Gordon, who is the author of the Eat a Bug book. David, welcome to the Food Chain Radio program.
Hey, thanks for having me on your program.
You're up there in Seattle.
That's right. Nice sunny day today.
Well, I was up there in Seattle once on a Navy destroyer, and I remember some huge cockroaches up there.
Well, maybe that would be true with the Navy, but I have to say, you know, Seattle is kind of bug-deprived compared to other parts of the world. If you go out at night, you're not going to hear crickets chirping and all that. It's just too cold and a little bit too wet for them.
Mm-hmm. So the more favorable places in the world would be where?
Oh, gosh, I'd say Florida's got to be insect paradise. And any of the warmer and more tropical areas, the south of the United States, the southwest is very good. And as a matter of fact, Tucson, Arizona seems to be an epicenter for bug interest.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere, but, you know, when you get a little too far north for us, it's a hard one.
Well, let me put these on the table. Wasabi wax worm appetizers, water bug on watercress salad, white chocolate and wax worm cookies. Are you kidding?
You're making me hungry, to tell you the truth. You know, those are all recipes from the Eat a Bug cookbook. There are 40 of them in this current edition, which just came out in June. That's up 7 from the original book. And, you know, I have all sorts of recipes. Some of them are based off of what people in other cultures would be eating. Some of them are kind of my own adaptation of foods that we already have on our tables. And I'm not kidding. I think there's a great opportunity that's missed for the most part. You mentioned 80% of the world's cultures eat insects. That pencils out to about 1.9 billion people on our planet. And we're kind of the weirdos because we don't eat bugs.
Well, and that, to me, is the core issue of this presentation today, is why do so many eat bugs and why do so few not eat them, which is us primarily. And so we pick up the Eat a Bug book. And are you serious, really serious about this book, or is it like a gag book that people give each other for funnies? You are serious?
No, those are all serious recipes. And actually, I've been traveling around doing cooking demonstrations for about 15 years. Now, I do inject humor through the book because I think that for most people, it's a what kind of subject. But so it's lively and humorously written. But all the recipes are real, and you can certainly try them. I encourage people to.
Well, one of the things I really enjoyed with your book is a history, you know, the going way back in time and looking at how people actually used these things. You know, you run across things like a 17th century recipe for using spider poop to cure infected eyes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's a long tradition of using insects as medicine, especially going back, if you go into Chinese culture and go to a Chinatown in whatever city is near you, and you can actually buy things like dried cockroaches at some of these, what they call medicine halls or, you know, herb shops.
Mm-hmm.
So that tradition is still going on today.
Well, who exactly, when you give these tastings around the country and you take out your skillet and start cooking up some bugs and whatnot, where do you do this? For whom do you do these tastings?
You know, I've done programs at museums and science centers. I've done food festivals. I was actually invited to go to Singapore, of all places, for their food festival. I've done school assemblies. I've done, foodie groups. And when I'm doing my own cooking demonstrations, when I'm working on my own recipes, then of course I'm inviting people over for taste testings as well.
Who comes forward to taste the bugs?
Oh, you know, Californians are wonderful because there's a general spirit of I'll try anything once, which is always nice. Sometimes I get people who are kind of, I'm only here to observe. There's like no way they're going to come up and try that. And then there's also people who I get the impression got up super early in the morning and drove for hours to be there, and they can't wait. I just finished a program at Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum in Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco, and there was a mother and her son who were standing there while I was setting up. They were just ready to roll.
Well, let's come to terms, as it were, with what exactly a bug is. What is a bug, and how does it differ from an insect, or are the two the same?
Well, you know, I use the vernacular use of the word bug in my cookbook, and I explain that. If you're a real insect scientist, an entomologist, then a bug is a kind of an insect. There's actually what we call the Hemiptera. Those are true bugs and include things like aphids and stink bugs and things that actually have mouth parts that are designed for sucking on plants, being the sap out of plants. But if you use a broader definition, it actually goes back to Middle English and the word bugaboo, which kind of cracked me up. Those were things that they couldn't see, but they thought were malevolent spirits. So that eventually became just about anything that's little and bothersome, so to speak. And I like to use that definition because in my book I have recipes for things like spiders and centipedes and scorpions, none of which are insects, but they're all land-dwelling arthropods.
Right.
So I didn't want to call this the Land-Dwelling Arthropod Cookbook. So eat a bug sounded a lot better.
So that's what we're talking about today, folks. Eat a bug. Questions on the table for discussion, if not for eating today. Do all those people in the world really eat bugs? What is the nutritional value of bugs? And most importantly, the question I would like to get to today is, why do not you and I eat bugs? If they're so nutritious, if they're so efficient, and if so many people in the world eat them, why don't you and I eat them? What is the answer to that question? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080, or on the forums at metrofarm.com. Calls are already on the board. Holy smokes, just put the phone number out, and there they are. So, if you'd like to join us, pick up your phone. We have the man, the Eat a Bug Book Man, David George Gordon, and you. Please do stay tuned on the Food Chain radio program.
Get this. You can earn a 5, 6, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. There's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
Hungry? Try this. Wasabi waxworms appetizers. Water bug on watercress salad. White chocolate and waxworm cookies. Yum. So why don't we, you and I, eat these things? So many in the world do. Those bugs are nutritious. They're efficient, much more efficient than our farm animals at converting natural resources to food. And many people eat them, so why don't you and I? That's the question we're playing with today. And here to help us, we're with David George Gordon, who is the Eat a Bug Book Cookbook. And we're going to start off today with Ben, because Ben has an interesting question that just might help get us going here. Thank you for tuning in, Ben. Well, fire away.
Hey. You know, you guys are funny. The elite banking cartels that destroy countries and push people into poverty laugh at the dinner tables eating T-bone steaks and salads and barbecuing pigs and laugh and say, let them eat bugs while we implode their economies. Most of the bug-eating communities around the world come out of, you know, Mao, the Khmer Rouge, the Nazis, even the Jews when they were in the Warsaw Ghetto. Used to make cricket soup. So let's get real. Eating bugs just stems from poverty brought on by international banking cartels and evil elite leaders.
Well, that's an interesting place to start. David Gordon, what do you think?
Well, I have to dispute this claim a little bit. And believe me, I don't like the bankers any more than anyone else. But I have to tell you, it's kind of a misconception that we think that people eat insects because they're poor or, you know, protein starved. Yeah, that's like saying we eat oysters on the half shell because we're so reduced to, you know, for a protein source. These are actually legitimate comfort foods in a lot of these countries. They're, you know, popular foods. It's just that the people there have broader palates than we do. So they're more accepting of the idea. You know, they come more from a hunter-gatherer relationship with nature, so they may be more excited about eating things like termites or large caterpillars or what have you. But I don't think it's just for poor people.
And, you know, speaking of aristocracy and hunters and gatherers, you have this wonderful quote from Father Pierre de John de Schmitt, who wrote way back when, who was an explorer of the early American West. And Father DeSchmidt says, I have seen the Cheyenne snakes and Utes eat vermin off each other by the fistful. Often great chiefs would pull off their shirts in my presence without ceremony, and while they chatted, would amuse themselves with carrying on this branch of the chase in the seams. As fast as they dislodged the game from their shirts and whatnot, they crunched it with as much relish as more civilized mouths would crack almonds and hazelnuts or the claws of crabs and crayfishes. Is this something that's just limited to, like, primitive people, David?
Well, you know, I think it's a perspective that we have as Western culture that people who are eating bugs are weird. And actually, if you read the Bible, it says in the chapter of Leviticus that locusts are kosher. You know, you think about John the Baptist, he lived on locusts and honey. So even our own forebears were busy munching away on insects. It's just, I think, to tell you the truth, I think it's more associated with hunter-gatherer culture and less so with agricultural agronomists.
Okay, so the difference between those who hunted and gathered were used to eating things on the hoof, as it were, whereas those of us who put plants in the ground headed off in a different direction.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that insects are among the few creatures that are in direct competition with people for food. So if you are planting wheat, for example, and all those locusts come swarming in, this is going to be a big problem. They're going to eat your crop. And I think that has been at the base of what we call, I would call, a disdain for insects. You know, people have really weird attitudes about bugs here in our culture, even though we need them desperately in order to have the planet function.
Well, where do we find this tradition of eating insects alive and well, somewhere that we would recognize?
Well, yes, Thailand, Southeast Asia is actually a great place to see people selling and buying and eating bugs in all different manner. Certainly China is a place I've seen lots of good photographs, never been there myself, but a lot of good photographs of people selling insects at markets and things like that. Surprisingly, Mexico, and I'm thinking of Oaxaca in particular, where they sell little grasshoppers called chapulines. They also eat ant eggs. That's considered Mexican caviar. And Mexico City, you can actually go to about four or five different restaurants that serve that cuisine and specialize in that.
And is there any place here in the United States where one can go and into a restaurant and order bugs?
Yeah, and actually I think the number is increasing. But for starters, one of my favorites is a place called Typhoon. And it's a restaurant that's actually at the Santa Monica Airport. It's kind of an Indiana Jones adventurous, well, Pan-Asian restaurant. And they sell things like scorpions on shrimp toast or stir-fried crickets. And you can definitely go there and have a great time. Water bugs stuffed with pork. But there are other restaurants. Here in Seattle, there's a Mexican restaurant called Poquito's that serves the chapulines from the little grasshoppers from Oaxaca.
Okay. Well, I might have to try one of those sometime. But let me go start with the real issue here, and that's, to me, is that the nutritional qualities of bugs are, you know, I read the nutritional qualities of one of them, and I was truly amazed that they're almost 10% pure protein.
That's right. You know, pound for pound, they say that dried grasshoppers are about the same amount of protein as lean ground beef, and considerably less fat. So if you're going to go out and have a, I don't know, a hamburger, a quarter pound hamburger, or a quarter pound of grasshoppers, you're actually getting a better deal by eating the grasshopper.
So they are, pound per pound, more nutritious than many of our conventional farm animals.
That's right. And actually, you brought up the point earlier in your introduction, this whole notion of how wasteful it is to raise cattle, for example. They're probably the real bad guys. There was a recent report by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN, and it's a major work. It's like a 180-page study that's urging people to start raising insects and eating insects as an alternative to things like beef or pork, that are kind of wasteful. The way the population of our planet is growing so rapidly, there's going to come a point, and in this report they're saying 2050, when there are going to be so many people on this planet, we won't be able to feed them the way we are now by raising cattle, for example, and slaughtering them. So they're looking at alternatives, and insects are their number one alternative.
And they are efficient at converting natural resources to food resources. You have this thing in the Eat a Bug cookbook. It's called the Energy Conversion Index. And from that,
that's right.
You know, give us a rundown on some of the efficiencies of insects.
Well, you know, I'm terribly sorry, but I'm not great at memorizing numbers.
Okay.
So I'm going to
Well, let me give you
EI numbers, but
let me give you a couple. The energy conversion index you had listed for the beef steer is 10, which means that for every 100 pounds of feed that the cow eats, that the steer eats, it produces 10 pounds of meat. Thus the energy
Think of it as 10 pounds of food in, and you get 1 pound of food out.
Good, perfect. Whereas the German cockroach, where it eats 1 pound of food and it produces 4.4 pounds of food, that makes the insect or the bug roughly four times more efficient at converting its food into our food.
Yes, right. That's right. That's a wonderful benefit of raising insects. And actually, you don't need large rangeland and dropping off bales of hay and all that sort of stuff. You could actually raise them indoors in like a hut or something like that.
There you go, folks. The bugs are more nutritious per pound, and they're much more efficient pound per pound than anything else we do. So the question is, why do not we eat them? 864, just a second. David, we have to go to a break. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back with eating bugs. Folks, bugs are nutritious. Bugs are efficient. 80% of the world's population eats bugs, and the United Nations itself is suggesting that we should think about eating bugs because, as Ben says, we must save the good stuff for the bankers and the politicians to eat. And we must learn how to eat bugs. Well, I'll tell you what. David George Gordon has written a cookbook called the Eat a Bug Cookbook that will make eating these bugs nutritious. The trouble is, you and I aren't eating them, and the question is, why? That's on the table today. David, you had a thought before you went to the break. What was it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's important also to realize how much water goes into some of these products, and thousands of gallons of water go into raising a cow, of course. There are insects that don't require water at all. Some of your listeners may be familiar with mealworms. These are actually baby beetles, and you buy them in pet stores to feed to your pet. Well, some of those mealworms are actually adapted to living in granaries that are incredibly dry. They're kept that way on purpose. They can actually eat the food that's in the granary, and they actually break it down to get water themselves from the carbohydrate. So they're actually don't require any water sources at all. And that would also be an advantage for raising insects.
So there appears to be great hope for our future. We will find a way to survive on insects, and others will have the beef and whatnot, or so says Ben. Do you ever get the feeling like that's where you're taking people, David, with respect to this whole notion of eating bugs, that you have to learn how to eat this stuff because our economy is falling apart and you better learn how to eat bugs?
Well, I don't think that's really the direction I started with. I mean, keep in mind that my book originally came out 15 years ago. It was before shows like Bizarre Foods and Fear Factor and all these TV, Anthony Bourdain, showing you different cultures around the world. And most of the information about bug eating was in scientific literature, like anthropology reports. I wanted to share that information with people to get them to understand what we're in the minority
because we have such weird attitudes towards insects that we don't eat them. And that's really my major agenda at that point. Now, a lot has come out in the last 5 or 6 years about the benefits of eating bugs and the disadvantages of eating our conventional foods from feedlots. So that's really become part of my thing. But my real thing is just to get people to examine what it is that they eat. We eat all sorts of weird stuff in our own culture, but we don't think it's weird because we grew up with it. So it's kind of laughable almost that we accept certain things and then have problems with others.
You know, that's kind of exactly what where I wanted to take this program. And in picking up the Eat a Bug cookbook as a way of looking at how what we eat is shaped and who's doing the shaping and how they are going about doing the shaping. You know, we think about that beautiful, you know, prime rib on a plate, and yet we don't see how that prime rib is being produced. And if you were to actually think about what's weird, a lot of what we do is plenty weird. And so there we are. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to go to the phones. Folks, you're talking with the Eat a Bug cookbook author, David George Gordon, and myself, Michael Olson. This is the Food Chain radio program. Away we go to Jerry. Jerry, welcome to the Food Chain. Are you
there? Hi, is this Michael?
You got him.
Oh, good. Yeah, I love what the subject your author's your guest is doing. That's really fun. The only thing is right now the cost per pound of bugs. Now, sure, you can grow them in your backyard, but from an efficient standpoint, going to the grocery store, when you go buy mealworms at your feed store, you're paying about $30-$40 a pound for those things. So, you know, from a financial standpoint, they're not real good. But we also forgot about the byproducts of beef. Leather, you know, I mean, that's a relatively important thing in American lives. And the gelatin, which is kind of boiled off, when they process the bones and stuff, that goes into all sorts of high protein things, plus Jell-O and other products. And then, of course, you can't discount the manure, which is used to fertilize our organic garden. So there's a lot of things besides food that come directly from beef in that sense. Sure, dairy, you can get the manure from that as well, but the beef part of it, there's certainly tons and tons and tons of manure that come from that. But until they get an efficient method of producing and distributing bugs, I think right now the bugs are more the gourmet thing rather than the beef.
Interesting. But, Jerry, do you eat?
Just a thought.
Jerry, do you eat bugs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're great. We have a bug barn out at the county fair that's going in here in a week or so. And I'm not sure what they're going to have in there, but historically in the past, they've had samples of, I think, mainly mealworms, but processed with garlic or peppers or, you know, various spices, and they're pretty good. You know, it's a snack food, you know, just like eating a bag of peanuts or something. But and price-wise, again, by the pound, it'd be outrageous. But they're pretty good.
Well, that's
it. They are high in protein.
Yeah, that's a great point. Are bugs too expensive to produce on a mass consumption level, David?
Well, they're only expensive right now because people are not rearing them for mass consumption. They're a niche. You know, they're being sold as live food for pets or maybe at bait and tackle shops. And there are large companies that raise things like crickets or mealworms, a lot of them in California, that raise millions of these animals. But they're not really throwing wholeheartedly, they're not really throwing their energy into raising insects for human consumption. And I think once that would happen, then the price of insects will go dramatically down. I mean, I do cooking demonstrations with tarantula spiders. Well, those spiders cost me about $20 when I want to prepare a meal. That's like buying a Dungeness crab or something. So once people actually got into rearing them, I could imagine that would go way down, maybe to a couple of bucks. And that would make it much more economically realistic and less of a special occasion. I do want to address Jerry's comment, though, about byproducts. because this also was a real eyebrow raiser for me. It came out in that FAO UN report about raising insects. But one of the byproducts from cattle, he mentioned, is manure. Well, a lot of greenhouse gases come from cattle as well, the ammonium and the methane gases. They're notorious from their flatulence, believe it or not. There's actually statistics to show that cattle produce more greenhouse gases than all the automobiles and motorcycles and trucks in the world. So those gases go up into the upper atmosphere. They hover there, and they let light come through, but they don't let heat out. That's what's starting to cause some of the climate change we're experiencing.
And another one, David, before we go to the break, somebody showed me aerial photos of CAFOs, you know, confined animal feeding operations, and it showed the effluent pools that the waste pools from these facilities, and that was frightening.
Folks, yeah, this is called Manure Lagoon.
Yeah, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson with David Gordon, the Eat a Bug Cookbook, and you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, why don't you and I eat bugs? I had a call on the break, a gal who wanted to know about sprayed bugs. I mean, and it led me to my initial question of why do not you and I eat bugs when they are so nutritious, so efficient at converting resources, and so many people in the world eat them. And I got to thinking about the relationship of bugs and the marketing of spraying bugs. Does that have any bearing on our attitude toward bugs, David Gordon?
Well, by spraying, you mean with pesticides.
Of course, yeah. You know, everybody, that's what people, when people say bugs, everybody thinks of, well, what do we do to get rid of bugs? We spray them.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, my favorite is the Raid bug, if you remember that from the 60s. You know, one insect is enough to get out a can of bug spray and blast it with bug spray. In the process, you're kind of putting a lot of dangerous chemicals in the environment that could affect us as well. So I do point out in my book that if we actually were out hand-picking pests, like tomato hornworms, for example, and eating them, then we would not be using as much spray. We'd actually be getting two crops from the same piece of agricultural land. And that's actually been done in places like Japan. They sell grasshoppers in teriyaki sauce that are caught on the rice paddies. They're called rice hoppers. So instead of, you know, flying over with an airplane that's dropping pesticides, they're actually going out and catching them and selling them. So that's a good deal.
And they're very efficient source of protein, too. So there you are, especially in teriyaki sauce. Mmm, good.
Yeah, that's right. I've had people say, I used to have those when I was a kid. It's like a comfort food for them.
Well, and that seems to be the case. If you look back in history, we seem to have been, you know, during our days as hunters and gatherers, we were great eaters of insects and bugs. And as we plant crops and move into the cities and whatnot, we think of the cockroach, of course, and we get so frightened we can't even bear the thought of eating bugs anymore. But how did we make this transition in our mind? Or how do we form in our mind what's good to eat and what's not?
Well, of course, I have to go for the obvious answer, which is buy my Eat a Bug cookbook.
There you go.
It has 40 recipes. It has some beautiful food shots to make some of these things. They may look strange, but they look lovely. And try to expand your palate. You know, it's really hard to imagine. Sushi is one of my favorite examples. Let's say 30 years ago, your friend said, let's go out, spend a lot of money, and eat raw fish. You might not go for that. It's not something that was in your regular experience. Well, nowadays, when I travel, I see sushi bars all over the place, even in the Midwest. You know, thousands of miles from the ocean, they're still a very trendy and popular food. People go and spend lots of money just trying to, you know, get through a sushi meal.
Yeah, one of my favorite.
Who would have seen that on the radar 30 or 40 years ago?
And one of my favorite TV commercials is of a guy who stops by a convenience store somewhere in the Midwest, and he's in a big hurry, and he grabs some sushi to go and eats it. And by the time he's finished with it, it's finished with him. Let's go to the phones, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson hosting, David George Gordon, author, The Eat a Bug Cookbook. And we've got Rich. Rich, welcome to the Food Chain.
Yeah, good morning. The closest I've gotten to eating bugs is that occasional fly in your mouth. And so I've not really thought too hard about eating bugs. But a couple of things. I don't know if you know the ad that you just had on before the
The control of beetles.
Yeah, are beetles good eating? And should we go out to the Sierra and start getting beetles? That's my first question.
Well, do we have a beetle recipe in the Eat a Bug Cookbook?
Well, technically speaking, the mealworms are baby beetles. They grow up to be black darkling beetles, they're called. So I think the larvae are actually more popular. And even in the commercial where they're talking about those Asian long-horned beetles, which are an exotic pest, they've actually been introduced here from Asia. The larva would probably be the way to go. A beetle itself has got a lot of body armor, and there's a lot of crunch in there.
A lot of calcium.
So you can have it.
But, good eating
that's right. Salt, so. But, you know, the larva, there's a lot of cultures that eat beetle larva. That's a real delicacy.
So it's kind of like the veal of bugdom, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. You don't have to deal with all that adult titan of the body armor.
Hey, Rich, do you eat bugs? Okay.
I don't know if I'd have to check the recipe out, I guess, and see what else is in there. I mean, do you make casseroles out of this, or, you know, how do you, I don't understand how you would create a meal out of this, and how would you go about getting all these bugs if you were to do it on your own?
Hey, Rich, listen to some of these recipes. The cockroach a la king, fried green tomato hornworms, sweet and sour silkworm. Yum.
Well, if you can make it... your tuna casserole or something like that where the bugs replace the tuna and it comes out tasting reasonably good, yeah, I wouldn't mind eating them. Matter of fact, if Barack Obama ends up starting a nuclear war, will bugs survive the nuclear war, so we'll have those whoever survives the war?
We'll always have cockroaches.
Okay, they'll survive that.
They'll survive. Thanks for the call, Rich. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. We have a few minutes left with David George Gordon, he the author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook. Lots of great recipes out there for all of you who are wondering what feed the guests over this holiday weekend. Just think of it. Oh, my goodness. Whip out some fried green tomato hornworms, some cockroach a la king, sweet and sour silkworm. You'll be the talk of the town. And the question we're going to put to David, the author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook, when we get back is, why don't we eat bugs? Right back. Well, folks, an estimated 80% of the world's population is entomophager, which is to say bug eating. And so today we pause to ask, why don't you and I eat bugs? Well, the David George Gordon is trying to convince us to do so with his The Eat a Bug Cookbook. David, there's something in you and your book that reminds me of Don Quixote, in that you seem to be tilting at our windmills of attitude with respect to bugs. What is it going to change our attitude?
Well, it's really hard to predict food trends, like we're talking about the sushi phenomenon. But I see that just in the 15 years that my book has been out, and from a number of reasons, that's become a growing interest. There are more and more people. When I do a cooking demonstration and ask how many of you have eaten a bug before, I'm often surprised by how many people actually raise their hand, maybe a third or even half of the audience. That's because places like schools, as part of science classes, might have a bug tasting. One of your callers mentioned the county fair having insects to eat. There's even what they call a bug appetite cafe that's at the New Orleans Insectarium, where thousands of people go through. So slowly but surely, people are warming to this idea. I'd say right now it's still kind of a novelty, but who knows what 10 years from now people will be into.
Do you think of yourself as a Don Quixote? And I know you're having fun doing this. You got to be having fun doing this.
Oh, definitely. It's a fun adventure for me. It's not, you know, I don't try to hammer people over the head with a cause. That's not really my goal. But I do like to plant a seed in people, sort of a what if. Mm-hmm. There was actually a book which cracks me up. It was written in the 1880s called Why Not Eat Insects, and it was published in Britain. Well, that book was talking about some of the same issues we're talking about now, that there's all this good food out there. And then actually it's aimed at sort of the lower classes in England. Your servants could be eating bugs. You know, why not? So 150 years later, we're still kind of scratching our heads over that same topic. And like I mentioned before, I really like to play with people's attitudes about food. So that's where I probably do get Don Quixote-like, is tilting at people's attitudes.
Well, again, where do we get this attitude that bugs are bad?
I think a lot of it comes from fear-mongering by exterminators, pesticide companies. If you've got a bug in your house, there's something wrong. Actually, maybe it means that it's a good thing because at least you're not poisoning them with, you know, sick building syndrome or anything like that. But I also really believe it comes down to that sort of the war between agriculture and insects. That's probably where the first thing came. Eating bugs would be like sleeping with the enemy if you're a farmer.
Whereas the Indians that Father DeSchmidt met on the Great Plains, those hunters and gatherers, took great joy in hunting down the vermin inside their shirts and eating them right in front of Father DeSchmidt.
And that's an extreme example, actually, because there were a lot of cultures, our native cultures, that would eat insects. There'd actually be plains groups that would get together as a whole tribe and cooperate driving grasshoppers into a pit so they could have grasshoppers for lunch or what have you.
There you go.
A lot of people would build fires under trees and have the caterpillars fall out of the trees and eat them. So, yeah, that was a standard fare.
So the question is, why don't you and I eat bugs? Log on the forums at metroforum.com, make your case. Big thanks to David George Gordon, the author of the Eat a Bug Cookbook, and all you out there, remember, cheap food isn't. Thank you, David.
You're quite welcome, and bon appetit.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.